It is now 7 o'clock. We will call to order this meeting of the Village of River Forest Sustainability Commission. Co-Chair Charette.
Present.
Co-Chair Lennon.
Here.
Commissioner Haley.
Here.
Commissioner Mezzatesta. Commissioner Cadwick.
Here.
Commissioner Avalos.
Here.
Commissioner Hoyt. Student Commissioner Steerwalt. All right, we have 6 voting members present. We do have a quorum. First item of business is public comment. If you wouldn't mind making sure the microphone's on and stating your name, please.
So my name is Sarah Hicks. I live over at 130 Forest Avenue, for those of you that don't know me. I'm just here to talk to you today about my support of the gas leaf blower ban. I'm definitely in full support of this. I know I don't have to speak to you about the benefits of eliminating the gas leaf blowers for the health of our community and the environment. And I want to say that not only the health of our community from air pollution and noise pollution, but also the mental health from the noise pollution, because it just gets really loud. So the one thing is this, in my opinion, I feel like 2030 is really a long time to be going towards our ban. I feel like it can be done more quickly. We have, our neighbors Oak Park that have already done this, and they did it in 2 years. So I feel like we have this golden opportunity to kind of ride on the coattails of what they've done already. I know there's many communities up north that have implemented the 9-month ban. I know a lot of the contractors have indicated that the months they need the gas leaf blowers specifically are like spring and fall cleanups. They're not really needed in the summertime. So, it'd be nice to see like a two-step process and get to this ban a little more quickly. The nice thing, like I said, this golden opportunity from Oak Park is because since they have already implemented their ban, a lot of the contractors are moving back and forth with the communities. And so they will already have to be adhering to Oak Park's ban. And so then would be much easier to implement in our community. So I would just like to see it implemented more quickly just for the benefit of all in the community. Thank you.
Thanks for coming. I just want to address a couple things. It sounds like you're pretty aware of this, of our proposal, and that we're waiting for the village board to take it up. So that's where we are right now. So we have to wait and see what they say. And the only comment I would say, comparing River Forest to Oak Park, is that they have had an existing seasonal ban in place for many years, which I think makes it possible for them to move a little quicker than we might be able to. So that's just something to keep in mind. But we're waiting to hear back from the board, I guess what I'm trying to say is that we're not in a position right now to change our recommendation because the board hasn't taken it up yet. But we appreciate these comments. And I believe it's on the next agenda at the board.
Yes, that is my understanding. It will be discussed next Monday night at the village board meeting.
And so that would also be a great time to show up and, to make your voice heard.
And then we've got one more individual on the Zoom looking to make public comment as well.
Hi, my name is Peter Chen. I live on Oak Avenue. I attended the last Sustainability Commission, and it sounds like my comment parallels some of the comments that have already been made. So I really appreciate this commission taking it up. First, I'm very thankful for the work the commission has done and your work on the leaf blower proposal. The one thing I would add is I just feel like we're in a really nice spot to be able to do something after our neighboring community, Oak Park, has already done it, because the contractors will already have to, that do business in Oak Park will already have to have adapted to their rules, and they would thus be ready to serve the residents of River Forest as well. So I feel like if we moved a little bit faster with our proposal, then, the residents of River Forest would be able to still be able to get service from local contractors, and we'd be able to realize all the benefits of, the peace and quiet and the health effects and, just the quality of life that it would bring. And Part of me also thinks that it's always easier to delay a proposal if we ever needed to, rather than accelerate it. So I think the majority of residents surveyed, more than two-thirds of them, have said that they wanted action on a leaf blower ban. And I think when they took that survey, they probably wanted something before 2030. I feel like we could capitalize and even help the contractors that are working in Oak Park by doing something similar that rewards the contractors that figure out how to do that. So I just really want to thank the commission for its work, and I understand what's been said, that you need to wait for the village board, and yet, potentially this commission has a chance to present its proposal because President Ducey asked for it to be brought up in the July meeting, and even, bring up the kinds of considerations and options that you've all done for the residents here. So, particularly, just want to thank the commission for its work in this area.
Thank you. Thank you both. I just want to add one more thing. So we did have sort of extensive open meetings or invitations to contractors who are registered in the village. And the feedback that we got in general was that the larger contractors are probably going to be able to do this, but the smaller contractors said that they will likely have to pull out of Oak Park. And I guess time will tell. But at this point, we do just have to wait and to hear back from the village and take it from there. But I think we can incorporate, this feedback into, if I don't know, Seth, are you going to speak at the meeting?
Yes, I will be at the meeting for any questions from the board next week, and we'll incorporate all the feedback we've gotten. I know we've had a number of residents come to meetings, the January meeting when we initially made the recommendation as the commission, and then there were a couple residents who had come in at the same time that the contractors were notified when discussing it last summer and fall.
Okay, so maybe we can take this to the board and incorporate your feedback. So we do appreciate, and especially taking the time out to.
And as Susan commented earlier, please feel free to go to the board directly and voice your concerns as well.
Because ultimately the decision will be theirs. Ours is just a recommendation.
And thank you all.
All right. Moving on to next item of business, we do have adoption of the meeting minutes, but I wanted to first recognize our newest commissioner, David Hoyt, who was just appointed last month by the village board. And then I know it was one day before our previous meeting and you were out of the country, so you were unable to attend. I didn't know if you wanted to introduce yourself or. Oh, and the other
Can
thing,
you tell us a little about
can you make
yourself?
sure the microphone is on? Yeah. Oh,
Push,
there you go.
push, green light. Green. Hi, I'm David Hoyt.
All right.
Well, if David's not going to say anything, I'll say a few words.
Okay, well, you can and I can.
You go first.
What
Go
would you
first.
like to know?
I just wanted to say, so David and I are friends. He has, how would I say it, coordinated with the Sustainability Commission in the past, on a project with the National Wildlife Federation, with community habitats. He's worked with Corey Cadillac, the science teacher at Roosevelt, to develop a native garden there, which is really thriving. And also impressively has converted the front of his yard largely to prairie and will be on the upcoming West Cook Wild Ones Native Garden Tour, which is coming up in two. Couple weeks, 3 weeks maybe. And and is a great source for native plants. And I thought he would be a really good addition to this board since that's kind of our was our starting place many years ago, but we've m moved away from that. And so it'd be nice to bring that component back in at this time. So welcome, David.
Thank you.
Great. And with that, unless you have anything else, we can.
I have a lot of ideas, but I don't know when it's the appropriate time for that.
We can move on to adoption of the meeting minutes. I did include, I hopefully included 2 months worth of meeting minutes here because we did not have a quorum at the June meeting. So we have the May and June minutes to adopt, and then any typos or misspellings or anything else that I had forgotten words anywhere in there, in case you guys had any edits. All right. Then with that, can we get a motion to adopt the May 13th and June 10th meeting minutes?
Motion to adopt May 13th and June 18th meeting minutes.
And do we have a second?
I'll second.
Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Haley?
Yes.
Commissioner Kadlec?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Yes.
Meeting minutes are adopted. Moving on to commissioner updates. So this is generally the time for when if anyone has anything to share. So yeah, I don't know who wants to kick it off.
I'll kick it off. Hopefully I'll be brief. Well, first of all, welcome, David. Glad to have you and all your ideas. I'm sure you'll be a great addition. When you presented at Triton with the sustainability team over there, that was really good. And your native garden's really pretty. Everyone should check it out.
Thank you.
As some of you may know, it's Plastic Free July. So if you can or want to, you can purchase a reusable bag at Trader Joe's or just any bag use, and then transport your groceries as well as other goods, because 1 billion plastic bags are thrown away in the United States each year, according to the EPA, and that is a lot. And if everyone or most people in this community, which I feel like we're doing a good job at, use reusable bags in our daily life, that can make a difference. But if you happen to use a plastic bag, Oak Park and River Forest High School, along with the Jewel ASCO, will take your plastic bags at the main entrances, and they will turn them into what's called eco bricks, and what's used in developing countries. What Triton's also trying to do. They will ultimately be turned into benches. And and if you want to, beach cleanups finally warm out. I know I am going out to the beach and cleaning up often, but if you can't, there's also another thing. Tomorrow and the 27th at Mercy Garden for Peace and Healing from 9 to 11, we'll be planting and weeding. I love weeding. Other stuff at 4900 West Quincy, and it's open to the public if anyone wants to join. That's all I have. Sorry, that was longer.
Pleased to learn the other day that variety of plastics that are accepted at places like Jewel at that drop-off is now larger than I was aware. It includes things like vinyl Amazon mailers and whatnot, and the kind of large plastic wrapping usually containing paper towels or toilet paper, that kind of thing. So I'm not sure people are aware of that. That might be something worth communicating, but that kind of expands the group of items that can be recycled. So I think that's pretty cool.
I just wanted to mention, so a number of us, Seth, myself, Gary, Manolo, and Jamie, attended a function in front of the pump house, which was a little ceremony accepting a grant to us from the Sand Railroad. Some of you may have seen our goofy picture in the paper, but I guess it's good to highlight the work that we do even. Yeah. So it was a fun event, very hot.
Okay, I can go next. So I know I was committed to do the business survey. I kind of stalled out a little bit on that. I'm going in my brain. I started a survey, but then I thought maybe it would be kind of morph it into something else. So I still need to work on it a little bit. So so from a survey perspective, so similar to like the residential survey that we did, we were going to think potentially do this for businesses. It's coming out instead of like a survey, more of like a informational guide. So I don't think I took it in the right direction. So I kind of have to go back to the drawing board on that one a little bit. But I am taking a required class through my employer, a generative AI class, which is not good for the environment because of the electricity use. But again, it's required. So I figured I can leverage my homework and came up with a couple of projects. So I took the community bingo card, the thing that we've been looking at that Ben has put together, and I plopped it into one of my homework assignments. Asked it to turn it into a starburst. Seth, you don't happen to have a picture of it, do you?
I can pull one up. Give me 1 minute.
So I think it needs a little bit of work, and I still have to talk with Ben a little bit about it, but I don't know if that's something we want to kind of pursue. I have to figure out how to modify it a little bit, but it's a very different visual than like the bingo card. And I think we have to add, you know, if you want to add the points to it, you know, there's obviously this is kind of just the first or second draft of it. We can kind of circle back while Seth finds it. Sorry, Seth. And it might be expired. I had to go back to like my downloads to check it out.
I was able to.
Oh, you did?
Okay. I had to like click through it a bit.
Oh.
Then it hopefully should
work. Okay. I could always send it after the fact.
I think I've got it here.
To everyone here.
There we go.
That's one of the drafts. So it's kind of ugly, that one, but it's so it classified all of the actions. So the grid that we originally looked at, the center, not the center, I guess it was the second ring, were the actions. And then we had the links. The links are all on the end. In the version that I sent Ben, the links are embedded in that second ring. So that third ring is missing. And then, so then it classifies it by, I don't really like the color scheme either. So there's a little work that needs to be done with it, but it puts it in a different perspective. Not necessarily in that grid format. I think we have points in there too. If you hover over something, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know if we still want to, we can put another ring with like points. If we want to keep going down that avenue too. So I was hoping people could have a little feedback if you want me to continue or, you know, if there's a different direction, you know, any thoughts or comments.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate you doing this because, you know, kind of once I made the scorecard, I realized I want this to look, you know, just a lot more like visually appealing. But, you know, creative design is not in my wheelhouse, really. So, but I do like this direction and that especially it groups, you know, there's categories for things. And I think that's helpful as well. And then, you know, you mentioned with like the point system, if that's something we still want to include, that could just be like another ring so that maybe the ones that are lower points are, you know, on the outside and have maybe a smaller space. And then there's a bigger chunk of the pie basically for like, you know, categories that are higher impact action items basically. But I like the idea of, you know, making it something like a wheel like this, you know, makes it really, you know, not take up a ton of space. And I think it's easy to sift through and click through and you know, look through each category to see about the different things. I guess, because in terms of like implementing something onto the website, I would want it to look, you know, something like this where it's visually appealing, easy to navigate. And yeah, if there's a way that we can, you know, like hyperlink the, you know, educational resource links and everything into just the words so people can click on, you know, smart home system or solar panels and it takes them right there. But yeah, I like the like direction of organizing into the different concise categories, and then also, yeah, just making it look prettier. So thanks.
I have a question since I'm coming at this cold. This chart is compiled from survey results, resident survey results. Is that?
Not exactly. It was, so I had an idea to basically make a guide, and I kind of designed it as a sustainability scorecard. So it has a bunch of different action items or things that, you know, relate to individual sustainability. So saying things like putting solar panels on your home, using a reusable water bottle, you know, recycling, you know, all kinds of different things. And then the idea was to have it all on one, you know, scorecard, and you could see, here's the different things I could be doing. If I don't know what this thing is, I can click on a link and learn about it.
Okay.
And then
so it's a resource.
Yeah, it's a resource guide basically. And okay. I had kind of designed it as a scorecard so that you could see, oh, like I did this, you know, something like using a reusable water bottle is worth 1 point, where, you know, solar panels is worth like 3 points. So then you can go through and see what you're currently doing, and it can give you can kind of see like your score, your sustainability score. And then you could then look at items that you don't have yet, you know, what's worth more points, what would, you know, have more impact, and then you can learn more about it, or yeah, consider if it's something that you can implement into your home. But yeah, it's basically designed to be a resource guide with a little bit of the fun component of seeing what your sustainability score kind of was. Yeah.
When we first talked about this as a way to encourage people to look at them, their own selves and what they're doing. And one, as a thought starter, here's some things. First simple things you can do is not all spend a lot of money, is not all going out and putting a lot of effort into things. But just to get people and help keep people focused on it and to give them some credit for what they're doing, some way to say, yeah, hey, we are doing some things, but here's some other things we can do. So for me, I mean, I would keep this thing as dirt simple as you can. Simpler, the better. That's why you've heard me say the whole point system. I mean, okay, somebody's got billions of dollars and they go out and buy an EV. Is that worth more points than the kid that uses, his own bottle all the time? I don't think so, personally. So I would keep the thing as simple as possible and just and maybe even think about narrowing the scope a little bit to just those kinds of things. What are we trying to achieve with it? And yeah, putting the links and all those kinds of things. I mean, that can be, you know, part of it someplace, I think. But at the end of the day, it's, for me, when we first talked about it, and I'm willing to go along with what everybody else wants, it's not to capture everything, but just to keep people engaged and get them engaged and give them a way to pat themselves on the back. Say, hey, you know, here's 3-4 things we could do tomorrow. We could take our grocery bags up to Jewel. We could take our tennis shoes or any shoe. Actually, I talked to DSW too. They'll take any shoe. They don't care what it is, as a recycling. So that to me is what it's all about. And if it's complicated, even visually, people just won't do it. Mm-hmm. And if they have to scroll around it, they won't do it. It's got to be in their face. They can touch it. They can see it. Boom, 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 boom. Okay. And to your point, can maybe take them back into other layers of things, initial things they can do within basic categories. That's how I always looked at it. Mm-hmm. So to me, this would be a little bit complicated, and I just don't know how much usage you would get.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, Gary. Like when it was, I like the idea. I feel like if we're making out a wheel, maybe it's kind of going away from the one sheet we had with the points, which I feel like that would go with that sheet and not really in with this sheet and make it more confusing. And if we were to go this route, maybe I can't tell if the actions are bolded, but yeah, it's like an overload of colors. So I can't really tell. And making the ones with the actions bigger if we were to go this route. But I do agree that it would probably be more visually appealing on the website, but I think it would get less use and less people looking at it.
Yeah, for sure. I think like I like the wheel design in some ways, but then also I think it makes it a little like hard to navigate if you're just someone like going to the website and trying to read through all the things. But yeah, we can explore different ways to still make it look visually appealing, but perhaps be, I think the ultimate goal, like you said, Gary, is make it easy for people to navigate through and learn from it.
Okay, so the next one, then I'll stop this then. it was actually not a lot of work at all. So, I mean, it was you just have to tell it specifically what to do. This version was the first one that it popped out, and it's, yeah, it was my homework assignment for my generative AI class at my employer. But this one, yeah, this one's too busy. It had the links on the outside. So, but if you guys change your mind, we can return to this one. So the third project that I, again, I'm doing homework assignments for my class, my second class of the generative AI. And I was trying to put together an informational guide and potentially a video that we can post to educate the community solar program. So I have a very generic, I don't know, I sent this to you too, Seth, I think today or yesterday. It's an Adobe file. The video is, I'm still working on the video. It's a little bit more complicated and I haven't had enough time to put it in there, but it's basically just a guide of what the community solar program is, how to enroll, what the benefits are. And again, it's just, it probably is a little longer than what I would like. I think there's six slides in it. And it's PowerPoint, but I put it in PDF so we can trim it. But this is the starting point for the video. So basically you can tell the generative AI to, I can put a picture of Kathy Aducci in there and it could automate. We can basically have her talk through the entire solar, you know, the community solar program. Yes. But with a still picture. Yes.
But we need to evaluate it and see if
it sounds like her.
Yeah.
But that's the capability of it. And it takes a little bit more skill and time for somebody like me who's not an expert in marketing. You know, I do finance for a living, so this is a deviation from my core skills. But yes, it can do this. So this is what it came up with when I just plopped in the links that Seth sent me. And I think a couple other, I think I had something in the mail as well. So, you know, there's, what slide are you on? The second one. So the first one's just, what is it basically? Just kind of a grabber. And then the second is what it is. I don't really like those little dashes, sorry. And then the third one, why are we joining? So this is a very basic, you know, framework of the program. And then how does it work is the next slide, you know, one step to another, and then it, you know, goes on. Net savings, and then the last is how to enroll. And then just some questions and answers from it. So, you know, it's a starting point. It's not perfect. It doesn't give you like the final, you know, product. You have to kind of work with it. And it's like 60% there usually with the system and you have to keep modifying it. But this is kind of like the framework of how it's going to take the video if we want to do like a video. So again, some thoughts, comments.
I like it too. I mean, it's all the information I've been trying to get out, but you know, in a little bit more visually way that grabs you a little more visually. And yeah, I like it.
But in lieu of Kathy, I'd probably do something cutesy, you know, like show a son or a cat or something.
Yeah, it can take a stock picture out of the internet and it could be anything. You can tell it the race and the age and it'll just pull something out.
Yeah, I would say just personally, based on conversations I've had, my own experience, pictures, telling the story with pictures, however you can do it. Kathy could be one picture, but other pictures too, and graphics that kind of remove the text as much as possible would be helpful, I think.
And
so you do want me to pursue a video, a short video? What is the length that we need to kind of keep it to? And like, is this going to be posted on like social media?
That's a good question. I don't know. So like, I know there is some length limit for if it were to go on
like
the village Instagram page, but I don't know what that is. It used to be like a minute, but I feel like it's, you can post longer videos on Instagram now.
Well, like what's the average TikTok video? Like,
yeah, I feel like
those are shorter, but the village does not have a TikTok account.
No, I'm saying, yeah.
What, but in terms of like, yeah,
to keep people's attention.
Yes. If we want to make it long, I think we need to switch up the AI voices between each slide to keep it engaging. Or maybe this presentation, if we make it artsy, will be enough. But I just know after listening to a reel for 30 seconds of the same person without another voice or another graphic showing up, I'm scrolling past.
Yeah, and kind of following from that, like, and that based on like TikTok and how it operates, this may not all have to be on one video. You could roll out a dozen, and each one could make a part of the argument, and then they would all be stored on the village website. People could go back and look. You want to understand, here's where the energy comes from. That's one, you know, 10 second video. Here's how it gets to you. That's another one. Here's why you're saving money. Boom.
There is a, I don't remember what the name of it is, but there is a, it's not ChatGPT. It's one of the other ones that basically will take a video or make, help you make a video and score it to let you know how, well, it communicates to the public. So it ranks like how the probability of it going viral and, you know, X, Y, and Z. So I can plop it in there too when it's done, and we can see if it meets all of the required. Sorry, I'm not Instagram reels or whatever. It's not my, again, not my expertise, but it will basically rank it for you and tell you if it's a good video to post.
Mm-hmm.
Can you also take that, because this will be a slide type video, right? So can
yeah,
you also
we can do either. We can do like a person talking or like pictures and somebody talking in the background, or we can just have a slide. Like you can have a person talking or you can have just visuals with somebody talking in the background.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good, like you've got a natural length there, which don't do real well with a video, right? So having a short, crisp video, and then, okay, if you want to see the slow it down and do the slides, you know, I've seen them done that way as well. So you can go through it that way and hit the links and write down whatever information you want or in that type of thing.
Okay, got it.
And as David said, I think it'd be great to even break some of these up into more detail. You know, this is kind of the high level, right?
Yes,
and say, okay, here's where the energy comes from. Here's where this, here's where that. So supplemental types of things that people can get it back into as well.
Okay, I have lots of notes.
That's good.
I think it would be great if like you would be the star, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, but
I think a real person.
We can put that. There we go. Exactly. Okay. And I will, I have a couple more weeks to complete my homework assignment. So, I can send you guys drafts once this is, a little bit more, when I have the actual video a little bit more, complete.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that. I think it really adds a lot. And since this is something we struggled with, the more different ways we can convey it, the better.
So Seth, when are you taking the class?
I don't know. So yeah, two of the points I had on the agenda were the scorecard discussion and then solar energy communications and resources. And we've sort of gotten into both of them. I can, for comparison, pull up my draft webpage, which is much worse and much wordier than what you've put together. So let me see here. And I did include a printout version. In everyone's packet, but this was discussion after last month's meeting, and then also some direction from the board had provided at their June meeting of just getting information out there to explain to residents the difference between the rooftop solar program, the community solar program, and the green aggregation, green energy aggregation program. I think one of the suggestions was to put it in a table, but me just writing most of the time, I put paragraphs into each box on the table. So I think this clearly is not yet fully baked and wanted to get some input from you all. I do like the approach you had with the PowerPoint presentation. And did I pull that up? Oh, I guess I'm just only sharing this now and not the presentation. But I think what was presented there was much sort of cleaner in explaining that, and I have it on the website but hidden, so yeah, I've had to like log in to be able to navigate it and know the exact URL address and all of that. So I'm sure if I think the printout may have the URL at the top, which you would then be able to potentially log in and look at it directly. I tried to zoom out so it wasn't when I print to PDF from the website, the menu to the right hand side always overlaps. So I tried to make it smaller so it fit, but then I realized that might be more difficult for everyone to read.
I thought this was pretty clear. Helpful.
Should we, I can't tell if energy contractors are on there, but do we want to like put a few local energy contractors on there?
I believe, and I wanted to sort of link to the more in-depth pages. So I link here to the permitting process. And then from there, there is a way to navigate to the who is registered locally to be a solar contractor.
Yeah, I thought the information in this was very helpful. I think like one thing for talking about, like a presentation versus information presented in a table like this. I thought something nice about the presentation was kind of, you know, like a flow chart to start with step one here, and then you can kind of follow along. Here's the steps that you, you know, can take to get involved in this. And I feel like that's helpful when you're starting out brand new and know nothing about these programs. To kind of see the whole roadmap and then, you know, exactly where you're going to start and then kind of end up to. So I didn't know if that's something that could be incorporated into the table or the information organized in this way. But I feel like that, you know, for me at least, like, I think that would be a helpful visual.
Yeah, I think there's a way to sort of more succinctly have this information that I have, and maybe a step by step process within the table, or basically even just moving away from full sentences and paragraphs like I have, like bullet points, and I just don't exactly know what the best approach is, and so wanted to get all of your feedback on that.
Well, I think it's a pretty good start. You know, but start the whole thing out with what is it for each one of them. You sort of did that. Yeah. And then, you know, to Ben's comments, you know, lay out, here's the basic steps you go through and what is it, what are the benefits, right? And then here's the basic steps you go to achieve it. And then I would ask that you hand it to somebody that knows nothing about it and ask them what they think. Part of the problem when we look at this stuff is we tend to look at it and understand, oh, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. But people receiving this often don't. Hand it to several of them and say, what do you think? And then get their feedback. But I think it's a pretty good start, Seth.
Does this information have to be on here on the page?
So that's just how it's set up on the website. So we had put the EV readiness, and then Luis had helped develop the informational guides to heat pumps and induction stoves. And so I had put them as sub pages under the general reduce your carbon footprint page, which, and honestly, probably some of this stuff can be consolidated off of here. This was what we had initially developed when I had first started with the village. So 2022, 2023, when we were updating the sustainability guide, and Susan, you were on there at the time. I think Gary might have just started. And yeah, so that's got brief paragraphs on the aggregation community solar.
So would that information stay on, or is this supposed to replace it?
I had not planned to remove it, but we can replace it, reformat it, and however we see fit. Maybe that's something to take a deeper dive into of that, because I've just been sort of updating and adding on to the guide as we go, but not really taking a comprehensive edit since I think it was probably close to 18 months ago when Luis had sort of undertaken the idea of sort of revamping it. So I think that's the last time it's had any sort of major reformatting or update to the sustainability guide.
So could you just, I'm sorry, could you show we can't view it though, right? You can't.
You can I think you can view it, but you'd have to type in the URL address directly. Okay. So basically if you were to go to like the guide to heat pumps or guide to induction stoves, I think at the top there, you just replace those two words with, solar energy.
So how do you navigate though to it from, like, if I was just a,
it's hidden, so
yeah, I know, but yeah, like, it, are you going to have a,
once it goes live, it would just it would be listed along with these ones.
Got it. Okay.
And then I would create presumably a shorter URL to be able to link to directly.
So would you like us, I really haven't looked closely at all of this. You're shooting for feedback on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Yeah. Okay. You would have the freshest set of eyes on the commission. So yeah. Any thoughts?
Yeah. By the next meeting, or I can email you.
Yeah. Yeah. Email me. I can go in at any time and make some changes and updates.
Okay.
I know Luis has emailed me things wanting to point it out. I know Manolo's got a few typos of mine on different things. So
I saw in your printed, on the attachment of the minutes, a section of this, but, I don't think I saw all of what you have. Mm-hmm. So would you like feedback on all of it, or just
whatever you are willing to provide feedback on?
Then can maybe you send out the links that
I will. I can send out the link to this specifically to everyone for first thing tomorrow morning, so you guys can be able to click directly into it and offer any notes.
That's
and
great. Then, I didn't know this was all out there, so
and then anything to the broader guide, feel free to click through and take a look at, and let
you
me
got
know
it.
Your thoughts.
Yeah.
Could you say one more time? You were saying we could click on one of these and it would get us close, which
reduce your carbon footprint.
Reduce. Okay.
And then the guides would be underneath there. So if you click to the the right hand side there, the bullet point ones that pop up. If you click on guide to one of the guide to ones,
heat pumps, doesn't matter.
Yep. Yeah, okay. It doesn't matter. And then you just, if you replace heat dash pumps with solar dash energy, just at the very end of the URL, and then I think you'll need to keep the HTML after it.
Solar dash energy, and then point HTML.
HTML, correct.
Yes, got it. Yeah, I mean, I think your idea about bullet points, because I think whenever people look at just like a lot of text, just seems yeah. like what's important here. So that would be the first. That would be the first.
Does the village have a like an Instagram page? Yeah, is it active?
Yes. Yeah, we do weekly posts. It's I believe the same posts go up every day or whatever, whether it's on Instagram, Facebook, and I think Nextdoor is the other app the village has an official account on, and like there's planned posts for each day or each couple times a day, and they just go up sort of simultaneously on all three. There's always a sustainability post, I believe, on Saturdays.
Okay. I just ask because I don't think it's terribly difficult, time consuming, or costly to throw together kind of an entertaining short clip for that format that could be used to convey some of these issues. I think back to when I was working with Green for Good to advocate, I forget what it was. Oh, composting at Roosevelt. We got, I don't know if you were there, we got Mr. Gartsky, then the principal, to dress up in the bulldog costume and perform a little skit about how to properly sort your waste. And I don't know what happened to that. I'm not on social media, but I think it went out somewhere. I don't think that took very much. So I'm sure we could do something similar with a cheap costume purchased online and a cell phone camera if it met certain standards for dissemination by the village.
Now that we have a videographer, it's a whole new frontier.
So anything else than this? I think we can move on to
let's see. I don't know if this is a good time. Did you make any progress on reaching out to get ideas of the number of residences that have community solar?
Sent an email to the ComEd rep. I don't think I had heard back. I had been bothering her about some other things and okay. got those addressed, and then okay. I forgot to follow up on that one.
Okay. Okay. That would just be nice to have.
I'm sorry, what did you ask? Because I think I was going to ask the same question. How much we've saved? Do we know?
No, so I think this
so
came.
We get came out the metrics for who enrolls in the MC squared mm-hmm. program and how many sort of kilowatts of energy or whatever that produces. But there are people who can just go in and sign up for separate community solar programs just on their own. And there's no real, we're unsure of how to best compile that. So we're seeing if maybe ComEd has that data and can provide it to the village. So I need to.
Just to get a more accurate idea yeah, of who's on account. Community solar. Because yeah. it looks minimal, but there are people that have gone on, mm-hmm. done it on their own. Yeah. So it could be as much as double what we think
exactly.
it is.
And then in terms of the savings for the
village,
for the village one, that one is not fully online yet.
Year, right.
Yeah, it's, I was told by the end of the year. Okay. Like everything has started to like shift over for like the billing and all of that stuff. And so I'm just like, okay, one of these days we're going to get the ComEd or AEP bill and it's going to have this massive credit on it. And then we're going to get a NextAmp bill with, it's going to be a portion of that. And then once that happens, then I'm assuming I will get noticed before that when it goes online, but I know we've queued everything up for it to start. But I just don't yet know when. I might have to follow up and just see if I can get a time frame on that as well.
Let me just explain to David what's going on here in case you got lost in this conversation because we jumped around a little bit. So the village has signed up as is it called Anchor or?
Anchor account to a community solar farm.
Which means, you know, we're the largest with a longer, what's the duration of the commitment?
I believe it's a 20 year.
20 years, but getting some pretty significant savings on not completely, but on the pump house and
street lighting
and streets.
So, mm-hmm.
yeah. And we're expecting to save thousands of dollars mm-hmm. by doing that. And so we're going to try to keep track of the savings to both highlight the benefits of community solar so that other people might be encouraged because a lot of the feedback that I got, I think I brought this up last time, is people are very leery of this program. I think I have the card here. You know, I saw on social media, people are very confused about this and confuse it with the aggregation program. They think they're going to be automatically put in. They don't realize that they have savings. They think it's junk mail, even though it has that beautiful river forest. So, yeah.
Yeah, and we should get updated metrics. It should probably get it in the next few weeks, but should certainly have it by next month's meeting. I had shared the sort of April 30th community solar enrollment numbers to serve as a baseline at last month's meeting, and we'll be able to compare that side by side to see if there's been an uptick in enrollment in the program.
To see if this had any impact.
Yes. Yeah. And then it's from everything I've heard, it sounds like it's just a fairly quick turnaround of just sort of people can be enrolled in as quickly as 2 weeks. It's more just like the sort of administrative portions of it that's not waiting for more stuff to come online, because stuff is starting to come online.
Okay, that's awesome.
Specifically the river forest savings, you said by like the calendar year, like January something? Okay. Because I was going to try to incorporate that piece, you know, hey, look, we're saving so much money, taxpayer dollars, but if it's not going to be ready, I mean, maybe we can do something additional.
That should be a whole nother video, I feel like, but maybe not.
I mean, you want to incorporate that into your...
Yeah, that's what I was trying. Yeah.
It would be nice to incorporate in that the village has done this and, you know, explain what an anchor is.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
You know, and have our projections of savings over this period.
Well, you're going to know the savings per kilowatt hour, right? That's probably known. What you're not going to know is what the usage. Yeah. So you can.
Well, since the savings is,
so you can use percentages and things like that, which. Right?
Yeah, I mean, since the savings is a percentage, you know, energy prices are going up, so probably the savings are going to be greater than what was initially discussed, because electricity prices have gone up substantially and will probably go up even further because of ChatGPT, which is powering this video.
So you're saying it might be possible to get like an estimate of the energy savings? Even that could be...
I think I might actually have some estimates from when sort of the contract was first initiated. And those are very sort of general estimates based on sort of historic usage of the two accounts. So I can look into that. But then once it's up and running, we'll be able to see the real-time sort of what the village's share of the community solar farm is generating, what those credits result in monetary savings for the village, and then highlight that overall.
Cool. Thanks. So you can get me the percentage at least of the projected savings?
I'll dig that up and send that over to you.
Because I don't think I hit. When was that? You said
we approved the contract May of last year. And that was like they were just starting construction of the solar farm at the time. So they were trying to get the anchor tenant on board.
I think you'd find it faster if you can find it.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
But yeah, I've got it somewhere I can.
Does the village have another community solar contract, or is that previous to this one?
In terms of the...
I thought that the streetlights were already on a community solar.
The streetlights and the pump station are already on. They purchase 100% green energy, but that's through renewable energy credits. Because those two accounts are not included in the franchise agreement.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't use just like the standard ComEd, so they have to sort of broker out the purchase of energy for those. And since 2021, I believe, it's been entirely green energy.
100%.
But that's through RECs. So.
Yeah. I wonder if that would be a good way to explain this program with a very specific example.
That's what my thoughts were too. We present, hey, this is what we've done. This is how much we've saved.
Right.
You can do this too.
But even specifically highlighting that, you know, that we had a aggregation program. It's because it's so specific.
Yeah.
And then say, now we're going to this, and it's saving the village, you know, X thousands of dollars, which is not going to be the same for the homeowner, but at least it really emphasizes that these are both good for the environment, but this one's better and it saves you a lot more money. And this is what the village is doing. So. Right. Should we go back to fees, to the EV charging?
Yes. So yeah, I put together a memo and I realized sort of I tried to not include too much information on here, and I'm going to see if I can pull up a map to show comparable EV fees, but I tried to at least get some summaries of it. So I gave the history in the first paragraph of how we came to implement the $10 per hour fee after the first 2 hours of free charging here at the Village Hall station. And I did subsequently also include the quarterly EV metrics report at the very end of the packet. But with the new charging stations coming online, looking to have a new fee structure, and really looking at charging per kilowatt hour of energy. And so I have a very preliminary draft in which it's proposed 25 cents per kilowatt hour rate. And so that is equal to what both the Village of Oak Park and the Park District of Oak Park charge at their respective charging stations. Looking around locally, everything else appears to be privately owned, at least in the immediate surrounding region. And the range I found was between 35 and 50 cents per kilowatt hour, and many were almost, I would say, the you know, most common I found was 43 and 44 cents per kilowatt hour. And then statewide, from what I was able to find, 38 cents per kilowatt hour is the average. And then just trying to factor in the costs for the maintenance and operations, and electrical costs for these charging stations. So the maintenance operations is actually known, because the fixed cost with the software subscription fee and the warranty for at least the next 5 years. So we know sort of what that cost is. The electricity, just looking at the usage for our paid accounts, this was just sort of my best estimate, including the various ComEd fees. And then very conservatively estimated 20,000 kilowatt hours annually at each station. And I, again, spread this out, assuming each station is equal. The direct current fast charging stations have higher warranties, like higher cost overall, but will almost certainly generate more usage than the level twos. But I just, in terms of keeping it simple, just spread it out evenly across them all. But basically, assuming 20,000 kilowatt hours annually at each charging station at 25 cents per kilowatt hour, we would be generating just over the annual maintenance and operation costs. So that's roughly the break-even assumption. And then I did provide some context for, yeah, what other how we can adjust the fees within the charge point system, and then some of the challenges for consideration with the overstay fees. So we only have the overstay fee here, which is very easy to limit it to the $30. The cap per charging session is the total for, if we were to implement a cap of the electricity charge and the overstay charge. So we can't get that sort of like clean overstay fee stops at $30 in addition to the electricity. I was sort of clicking through the system, we would, I don't know what the best way to.
Can you do it in terms of time?
Yes, there's.
Because, I mean, that's just another way to go at it. If we know what the dollar amount is and we know what the rate is per, I don't know, is it per minute or per 15 minutes? Or you could just say.
Oh, yes. You could just, in terms of charging the amount of.
You could turn off the fee after a certain number of hours. See what I'm saying? No.
Oh, no.
Did you get it?
I don't think you can with
you
like
can.
In,
you,
in
you
terms
can't,
of like
you can't turn it off.
It will continue to incur fees until a certain point at which it stops.
Right. Time wise.
No, because it's dollar amount max per session.
Yeah, but we can figure that amount out. Like we know what it's charging per minute or per however we do it.
The problem with that is that the charge rate, the kilowatt hours, can fluctuate in terms of how fast it's charging or not. So sometimes the money, the kilowatt charge is going faster, sometimes it's slower, especially with the dual ports. It's charging faster if there's only one car plugged in versus two. And then.
But since the rate is going to change, right? Because it'll be 25 cents per kilowatt hours until full charge, right?
Correct.
And then it's going to switch over to a time based fee.
Yes.
And there's no way to limit the time length of the time based fee.
I do not believe so. No.
Okay.
With electricity rates going up, are we charging enough for the 25 cents per kilowatt hour?
That.
And can we evaluate it? I know, I think I asked this question before, like annually or.
Yeah, it can. This would, we would need to sort of, it would need, the board would need to codify it into code in order to develop the charging system.
Okay.
But then that could be just like sort of is drafted here, amended at any time.
Okay.
And then I know one of the things, Susan, you had asked about was different charging rates and overstay fees based on day of the week or time of day. And we do have those capabilities. And there are communities that do have that, particularly at commuter rail stations. So let me see if I can.
Right, because we wouldn't want somebody to park there in the weekend for 9 hours and. Although I suppose some people do work on Saturdays.
And I just have a really general question. With the rebates ending, nothing happened with the grants. Correct?
No, this is a state grant. No federal funds were used. We had already had in fully executed agreements, so the state is assuming we meet all of the requirements of the grant, the state is obligated to give the money provided in that grant. And then the additional rebates are ComEd, so those are fully private.
I ask that question approximately once per week.
Yes, there was. So in early January, we were awarded a second grant for some additional charging stations here at Village Hall. And then about 2 weeks later, that grant was canceled. So.
Was that a federal or a state?
That was a federal grant.
Just another question on the charge. Instead of picking like 25%, could we base it on the ComEd rate? Or do you think that's too complicated? So that the board doesn't have to vote every time the rate changes.
And that was going to be my suggestion. Yeah. Like, is there a market rate that we can just?
Well, does the ComEd rate?
Yeah. Well, like, is if it, you know, there's peak hours and usually like it's, you know, I don't know how.
But we're not higher. But we're not paying hourly rates. Are we? We're not paying hourly rates, are we?
No.
Whatever the equation was that you had in your proposal, I think it was the cost of the equipment and maintenance plus the assumed usage. And
yes.
That could just be an equation.
And there was, again, an assumed electricity rate. And I was trying to be sort of very conservative with all of these numbers. And I can probably be more conservative with that electricity cost rate.
I mean, I like the way it wound up being below rate,
yeah,
or competitive. But if there was a way to just kind of have it float with this basket of factors that would not have to be voted on every time the rate changed, as you say, it's kind of what you did, I think. I'm not, if I understood it correctly.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I think if the electricity costs, particularly the ComEd delivery costs, were to increase and we have no control over the delivery portion, we do, you know, directly broker out the, like I had mentioned earlier, the electricity costs, and that's, you know, we locked in another 3-year contract for the energy portion at a fairly modest increase. So that's sort of a known entity for the next few years, but the, what the sort of utility charges from ComEd will be are the thing that would be difficult to predict. So maybe that's.
The other thing is, or the other thing that just worries me a little bit is just because of the rebates, did we overbuy on these chargers? You know, if the EV market decreases, you know, the fixed cost of these machines are spread over less vehicles. So like the longer term view with the vehicle rebates ending, is there going to be a, mm-hmm. a decline over the next couple of years?
Yeah,
but again, we can adjust the rates, yeah. So that, you know, that's something that would just to consider, you know, the amount of vehicles using the chargers.
Yeah, that is, again, difficult to predict. The one thing I would say is that with 8 of these stations, they'll be the only fast charging stations readily available in the area. So I would imagine those would get fairly frequent usage.
And I think the two out front will continue to.
Yep.
And there is a little bit of a cushion built in because the electricity, we will begin charging for these up front just to make it uniform. And that cost is tied to the amount covered by. So, you know, I think while it might not be true on a per charger, if we average it over the village, you know, we've got a little bit of a buffer there. So.
I just had a minor question. I really like the kilowatt per hour rate, and I think all the fees like for overstaying are very fair. So I'm really in favor of this. I was just wondering if all of the overstay fees will be like easily stated at all of the charging stations, if that can be like directly on the screen.
Yeah. So that anytime anyone uses the charging stations, they see what the fee is. It's there, and then you have to have the ChargePoint app to charge, and you get push notifications of, you know, when you're close to the overstay fee kicking in and all of those things. So yeah, that information is sort of fully displayed for the public, both physically at the station and then also on their phones.
I don't think I have the app, and I just use it, but I get the push notifications if I'm coming up on 2 hours. It's like a meter, like, you know, it'll tell you that you're going to expire soon. So, but I don't think I have the app at all. So
I don't think you need it.
You just put your phone in front of it and it just charges it.
Seth, are these chargers only for residents of River Forest and those with the parking stickers?
Nope. These are open to anyone.
Okay. So then they're not parking spots.
Correct. They're charging spots.
Charging spots. Yeah. Okay. Good. I want to make that point clear. They're charging spots. So in my view, every one of them ought to follow the same rules. I don't care if you're parking up here in Thatcher and you're taking a train downtown. It's not a parking spot. It's a charging spot. So the fast chargers, whatever think that they take to charge a vehicle, whatever, it's like 30 minutes or whatever.
It's generally 80% charge in, yeah, 20 to 30 minutes.
Okay. So their starting point would be, let's say, 30 minutes. And after that, they start to pay a fee. And the level twos, we decided with the ones out front here that those were, we'd give people 2 hours and they start to pay a fee. And we already established what those fees are. And I don't know why we wouldn't just keep applying that. In terms of the dollar and cents, is there any of those costs in there, the fixed costs, even the maintenance costs are probably variable, right?
For the first 5 years, those are fixed because all maintenance is under the warranty cost. Okay. And then this is basically the warranty costs spread out over those years. Same with the cloud subscription plan.
Okay. So with any business, when you invest in your capital, you're always taking a risk of is the volume going to be there or not. So that becomes kind of a sunk in my mind, and I wouldn't worry too much about it. You've given an estimate of it. But the actual electricity charge we get from ComEd does vary.
Yes. Right?
So I would not advocate putting that into any kind of code. I just think that that's something that if the finance department, whoever controls that here, looks at it every month and adjusts it monthly or whatever they need to, just like you would with gasoline. All right. So that we are always at least whole in terms of the electricity charge. That'd be my suggestion of it. And
can you write that into the bylaws? That would be a really wise.
I wouldn't put those charges in the bylaws.
No, not the charges, but just that method.
Well, the method's the formula.
Yeah. But they can change it monthly or quarterly or whatever.
I would just put the formula in there. It's our fixed costs, you know, plus this, you know, adjusted based on market rate, whatever you want to call it. And I'd also, it's a bit confusing. That's why I asked you this, because you put it within the parking lot rules.
And that's sort of, yes, yeah, because it's the village lots. That was sort of the
initial
space to code it. And
maybe, you know, make a note in there that there are designated charging spots within these lots that are not parking spots.
Yeah.
And then I would pull that other piece out and have it as separate. So it's not to be confused with it. Because when I first read through this, I said, okay, well, you got to have not only be a resident, but you have to have a parking sticker to use them. And then it by definition starts to become a parking spot. And they're really not. And they should never, ever be thought of that. No more than pulling up to your local gas station and parking and walking over across and doing shopping, right?
Yeah, is there any specific language saying like you have to be charging if you're going to have your car?
That is actually state law.
Okay.
So, yeah, a vehicle cannot be parked in a charging spot and not connected to the charging station.
To take it literally by what is written here, somebody could park in this Thatcher one, hop the train downtown, and have 14 hours. Right, 2 hours of charging, then it kicks in for 12, right? Or they don't even see it for 12 hours after that.
Yeah,
I think it ought to be, it's a charging spot, so 2 hours, and just like we already said, that's my view of it.
Do other people have opinions on that?
Well, I would say is like, so I drive an electric vehicle, and like for the level two chargers that are going to go near the metro, I think that like those are going to be less popular than the fast chargers. I think the fast chargers, those having like as soon as it hits 100, you've got, you know, it's like 15 minutes, right? I think that's very fair because you should be with your car when it's fast charging anyway, really. And, you know, we got to get people in and out of there because those are going to get a lot more use. But, you know, with the five going in near the metro station, you know, I would imagine those might not all be taken like at the whole time. And even though it might be permitted for you to, you know, leave your car there while you, you know, go take the metro to work, I wouldn't see that happening for like, you know, all the chargers. I think I would imagine there would still be some that are available. And I think with a level two charger, it's going to take closer to like, you know, 6 to 8 hours or, you know, something like that to get a full charge. If you're starting from something very low. So I think the, you know, 10 hours, I think is fair if there's other chargers available. So I think that could be something that could be reevaluated if we see that all five of the new charging stations are always packed and there's people leaving their cars there for a long time. 10 hours is maybe too long and then we need to shorten it. But I would say for now, you know, that's fair to get a full charge, and especially if you're going to use it while commuting to work, since it is right there at the metro station. But yeah, so I feel like how it's written now would be fair and okay.
Is there anything in here which prevent, you know, say someone has a very early schedule and they get to the parking lot first and they park every day in the charger? You know, like we're thinking of like unique people parking each day, but if someone got there early, you know, they obviously wouldn't be on zero because they just sat there for 12 hours the day before. Is there any mechanism that we could stop someone from being, you know, like basically using this as their private spot and parking
in? When it hits 100.
Yeah, when it hits 100, that's when the overstay fee would take effect.
Yeah.
In the parking lot.
In the metro lot, yeah.
Okay, so we're considering
not for 12 hours.
Oh yeah, that, oh yes, that's
not for 12 hours.
That's a good point. That,
and, you know what I mean? Like, and the same person could do that, yeah, every day because they have, you know, they have a very early schedule, yes, and they get there, yeah, and they just say like, okay. So I'm just trying to think out someone who might use the system, because we're not thinking of this as being one person spot 5 days.
And these are going to show up on the maps, right? We've got these charging stations. So it's going to be more than just people that are commuting. There are people that maybe driving by that need to at least get a little bit of charge to get to wherever. That's why, to me, these things ought to be, it's not a parking spot, it's a charging spot. And we ought to, just like we had this whole discussion several times on the ones out front here. So if we're going to change it to 12 hours for Thatcher, we got to change it to 12 hours for these two. Because it's the same argument, right? We assume that they're not going to be blocked. Well, we know that these were blocked out here. And we know that the people are going to block those there. So, I mean, if they're not really, the level twos and these are not necessarily intended to top you all the way off. They're intended to give you enough charge to get home or get to whatever. And if you want to use a fast charger, those ought to be available and you can hop in and out of them. That's my thinking there. Those spots ought to be, somebody's coming in off the road and they're almost empty, they ought to be able to pop in there and find a spot and not have four cars, you know, hogging them because they're all downtown or whatever. That's my thought.
Since Oak Park has experience with this, could you reach out to Oak Park and see how they address that? Because I know they have chargers in garages and various places that might.
And with the garages, those already charge for how long you're in there. And that's sort of a separate from the charging station charge.
So it's a parking fee and
yes,
oh, a
yeah, and that's paid sort of at the gate of the parking garage. But and yeah, and I don't know if
they don't.
Well,
have,
there are.
Could we do something like that? I mean, like, I know that these are in lots that other people have permits for, but could we carve these out and say this is not the same situation? So it seems like we need to build in a financial disincentive to, you know, for what I'm saying.
Because that, these are charging spots, they happen to be located in this.
And, but they're,
these are not for the daily commuter parking.
No.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, so if you do leave your car there for 12 hours, you're going to pay dearly for it.
And I think that's sort of, I think where we've already landed with the North Avenue lot, because it's for a lot of the adjacent parking spots are overnight or 24/7 parking. This does not impact any of 24/7 spots, but sort of some of the overnight parking might be, I don't know, if just move down a little bit and these would be charging spots. And okay, there are six of those that are open. We're putting these into four spots, so it sort of works out.
You're saying they're new spots.
These are being applied to the open village owned spots.
Okay. Which people,
Franklin Avenue, those spots are 3 hour parking anyway. So that's, again, none of the sort of residential permit parking is impacted in that lot in any way.
Have you heard about these new chargers? I don't think I've necessarily seen it be a thing with ChargePoint, but, you know, other charging stations that I've been to, you're able to like reserve it ahead of time. I just wanted to ask.
Ways to allow for that. We have not set that up in our ChargePoint system. There is like a thing to allow reservations. It's just not something.
Yeah, it'd be less a lot less complicated, I would say. But yeah, I was just curious if that is an option for these stations.
There, I believe there are some capabilities to do that, but.
I have a quick question in regards to the closest fast charging one. Where's the nearest one?
Let me see.
I think I have to go to Oak Brook.
Oh, you mean other than Oak Park doesn't have any fast chargers?
I don't know.
No, they only have level twos.
There's some at the Hip Mall and then also in Berwyn.
Oh, Berwyn has the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Off of Harlem.
So, yeah.
Yeah. There's,
yeah. They're there.
And, there's only one. So my
the point... Bank of America on Roosevelt Road, and
then
North Riverside Plaza is the closest, and then
we're kind of close to 290, so in Des Plaines. So you're right, there are people. It's going to pop up on my navigation if I need a charge. That one will pop up, the fast, especially the fast charging one. So we have to think about it really, really carefully so people don't park there all day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then to the north, it looks like the Nissan dealership in Melrose Park, and then there's nothing until you get to Irving Park Road going north. So
wow. So these are going to be very unique.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then looking east, nothing until... Yeah. Logan Square, West Loop, Bucktown. So just based on the feedback we've gotten so far, look to sort of potentially apply these fees more universally, regardless of lot or location. And then in terms of incorporating the electricity cost, if there's a way to sort of, and I don't know if there's a way to codify this, but looking into the having the kilowatt hour fee tied to the market rate in some way.
Yeah, I just think that I don't want the village's hands tied and have to go to the board every time there's an increase.
Yeah, and that's something I'll need to sort of look into to confirm, but yeah, I think that's...
You could even tie it to like the last, you know, rolling 3 months and adjust it quarterly or something like that.
Which might be, you know, I feel like asking somebody to do this monthly is a lot of work.
But yeah, maybe like quarterly rolling, you know, something a little bit more, especially, I don't know how big your accounting and finance staff is. Did you say 12 hours or 10 hours when you, for the, I'm looking at 9B.
Oh, did I write?
It's 12 hours, unless I have an old version.
I might have written like 10 in the memo and 12 on the thing, or yeah, I might have.
So I kind of agree with you. I feel like 10 is, I think 12 might be a little much, but I don't.
Yeah, I could agree with that. Yeah. 12 is.
Yeah, like, and again,
a little high
to be in spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, but ultimately, I've just been thinking about this. I don't know. I'm gonna ask people I know that drive EVs to get feedback, but it shouldn't it be like a gas station where there's not a gas station in your garage where you can pump it at night or before you go out, but there's an EV charging station in your garage, or usually in your garage, or you carved out a space if you lived in an apartment or condo or tried to. So I don't know, because I don't have an EV, but just a thought.
Yeah, most residents have, and we can sort of shift over to the EV metrics report at the end of the packet. There's 346 EVs registered in the village. And then you can see the EV charging station permits. There's only been 4 this year. But those are residents putting in the level 2, like the, you know, anywhere from $8,000 to $15,000 charging station in their garage or in their driveway. So most residents have the level one charger, which 12 hours of charging on those is the equivalent of 2 hours of charging here at the level two charger. And so, yeah, you charge it overnight, it gets you that sort of same 50 miles, and then you can go to soon the fast chargers and, you know, at any point the level twos to sort of get that extra boost in charge. So, yeah, I think, the question with, I think, the particularly the metro station level twos is, do we sort of treat those as just uniformly like the others as charging stations and sort of irrespective of the idea that people are going to be potentially hooking up there and then commuting to work and not returning?
So we're talking about 9B? So in our conversation, it seemed, if I understood correctly, it seemed like we talked about perhaps having a charging fee, but then after that having a parking fee, so that this does not fall under. So wouldn't that be different than what's written here?
Yes.
Okay.
So yeah, that would be need to be. I'm trying to think, because yeah, people parking in that lot do have to pay for the sort of daily parking permit.
But we could designate these as these do not fall under the.
Yes.
I mean, I feel like this is just way too. I mean, basically, you're just having, you know, one charger for half a day.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I do drive an EV. I think that that seems unnecessary. I think for sort of a park and ride situation, which is, I think, what's the assumption is here, the person's coming from their garage. It's been charged overnight.
Yeah.
It's going to use nothing to get to the. I don't even know if EV users would want to use that if they're going downtown. They might just park in the regular lot. I think much more likely, I would imagine, is that you're going to get passers-by that need a charge. I think the park and go EV scenario can ride. I don't know if that is terribly likely or is a market that needs to be accommodated in this way, you know?
People with apartments and condos will be the ones who'll probably
use some of the. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that could then just be incorporated into the same way as the level two here, where a charging an overstay fee would take effect
immediately
shortly after full charge.
Yeah.
And then I sort of in this, again, very preliminary draft, bullet point C had then for level two chargers, 30 minutes after, you know, I kept it 15 minutes for the direct current fast chargers. I don't know if it should just be.
What? Yeah. I was going to ask, why are those different?
Basically to give people more time to get back to the car before the fee took
the level two.
For the level two.
And that's just based on that the fast chargers are going to be in high demand.
Yeah, the fast chargers, like Ben said, should be occupied when it's charging.
They should be nearby.
Yes. Yeah, okay. They should be very close by. That should not be used to leave your vehicle there while you shopping for more than.
Yeah, I would strike B. I would just say level two chargers. And then we just have to have signage that says, you know, I mean, if you have somebody in your household that can move your car or something, but you know, I can't see any reason. I mean, I feel like outside of a parking garage situation, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And I don't think anyone with an EV that's taking Metra from River Forest or locally will even need that charge enough for us to set it aside for that market.
But we have to prepare for that eventuality, because there are always, there was somebody who was using this one for overnight overnight parking and gave Seth a mouthful because we took away his free overnight parking spot, you know?
No, just start the clock ticking on the overstay. And,
yeah, I mean,
well, initially we didn't have that. That's why we had to put it in.
Yeah, the overstay fee didn't take effect until March of last year.
Okay.
And you saw instantaneously the charging session length drop
and
the number
figures.
Of unique users. And then, yeah, you can, I put the histogram for the last quarter at the end of the packet. There was still somebody who remained parked for 20 hours and
how much did they pay?
They paid $30 'cause that's what it was capped at. But again, if the cap is removed because we're charging that rate after the electricity rate, that may serve as more of an incentive for people to move their vehicle more quickly. And you do see a handful of people were charging for, you know, 5 hours, 6 hours, and maybe they're just like, I'm going to pay the fee and then top my car off.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, I kind of agree with, you know, striking B from this, because I think, you know, with the level two chargers, it's kind of, you're getting a little bit, you know, to kind of get to where you kind of need to go next or something like that. Whereas like, if you really just want to, you know, charge your car all the way up, that's kind of what the fast chargers are for. So yeah, I'd be in favor of making it more similar to, yeah, definitely not as something as long as 12 hours. 'Cause I do think it's important to cap how long people can be at these stations, because, you know, at Triton, we don't have a, you know, limit on how long people can charge for, and they'll just, you know, kind of leave their car all day there. Yeah. So I think, you know, if people see 12 hours, they might, you know, be licking their lips like, oh, I can just be here, you know, all the time. So, yeah.
How many charges are there at Triton?
We have 5 stations now, 10 ports. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you ever consider changing that policy?
I've recommended that, yeah, we should put some caps on it. But I think given that a lot of people that are, you know, charging there in classes or at work and stuff, it's kind of, you know, I've been told that it wouldn't work the same as somewhere like a, you know, a village lot. So, but definitely during the busy times, like, yeah, it fills them up. And I would be in favor of capping it to a certain extent because, yeah, like y'all have been saying, it's not a parking spot, you know, it's a charging station. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to look into the market rate stuff and then obviously incorporate next feedback. I don't know when the village August meeting is, but I will plan to at least bring something back here. For a sort of formal recommendation to the board at our August meeting regarding, and I don't think even these two lots will, the project will be done by that time. So I think we've still got some runway there to get this formally adopted and in place before those start to electrify the ones.
Do you think we should give people warning that, well,
yeah. And I believe when we instituted the initial fee, we put something out sort of in advance and newsletter on the village website, and we would do the same.
Because, I think the people who've been charging for free here, you know, you're gonna get a few phone calls, but I don't know, maybe, I don't know. I just wonder how you feel about that. Like, do you think we should give people warning, or is that just going to give them a larger period of time to complain to you?
I think it's better to sort of put out the information and make sure people are aware. And, you know, like I said, we put out the information beforehand last time, and there was, yeah, one person who wrote into the Wednesday Journal and then another couple of people who called and gave me an earful.
Well, you know, one population that you could warn are the staff work. Like, I think you told me a couple of firemen use it and everything.
Yeah, 2 firefighters on staff who do it, and they've sort of developed their own sort of internal policy of if they're on the same shift, only one of them will be charged.
But I would just give them a heads up that, you know, that once we have these new chargers, we're going to start charging, just so that they can begin to incorporate that into their, you know, just so that they don't show up one day, hook it up, and all of a sudden, you know, they're getting charged since they are working. And I don't know, just so they know. So that seems like one population that it would be good. And I don't know if there are other village employees that use it as well, but
Those are the only two that I'm aware of. And then the police department has the new e-blazer, but that we set up a card. It does not sort of charge the village for our own charging.
That's separate.
That can charge for free. So
and that'll continue.
Yep.
Okay.
Seth, I guess one more question I had, and you've probably answered this in the past. Why did we not include this as part of our solar anchor contract? Because this is new business for ComEd, too.
Yeah. This actually will be, I believe, tied into the street lighting accounts because it's coming down from the utility poles.
So technically, this will be on solar, too.
Yes.
So we could advertise this as green electricity for your green car.
Yep.
Which will also make it 10% less than the ComEd rate.
Yep.
Yeah. That's very cool.
I don't think we have to advertise that, though. but again, it builds in a 10% buffer, so that's
yes, cool. Yeah. Just very
did we put signs up before when we the fees were implemented, like, or did we just
so it was
we did or shared, we didn't?
I'm sorry. Newsletter, the village website, social media, and then it sort of once it got updated in the system was available, and like we put it out beforehand and saying this fee is taking effect on this day, and then that's when I went in and implemented it.
You know, when you get around to putting out signage or communications or whatever, I think those points about this being solar energy that people are using to charge up their cars is crucial. Yeah. And should be advertised to the universe. Because I don't know if other chargers in Berwyn or Oak Brook, wherever, if they are.
Seth got one nasty gram from somebody in Oak Park that was leaving her car all night.
Yeah, I think the Wednesday Journal letter was complaining about it, and then it was signed like their name, and then Oak Park.
Oh, really? It was someone from Oak Park?
Yeah. The people who called me were
coming over from Oak Park parking here, and they were upset that we were charging.
The one who wrote into the Wednesday Journal, the people who called me were residents of River Forest, and
well, I think that's kind of funny, but it speaks to the demand for the stuff. It's huge.
But they were also avoiding Oak Park fees because Oak Park wasn't free. So they were, you know, they were making a point to come over here because initially we were completely free, and then he was upset that
I don't think Oak Park implemented their fee until after we did it. The Park District of Oak Park had their fee in place, I think, from the beginning, but I mm-hmm. think the village did not have fees until after we had our fee in place. Because I think one of the, if I remember reading everything, like looking back through everything, one of the trustees there was against their initial fees because he thought it didn't go far enough and wanted the overstay fees and everything like that. And
okay. All right. Well, we've gone over a little because we've had such a lively conversation here. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Haley?
Yes.
Commissioner Cadleck?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Yes.
We are adjourned at 8:30.